As more than one government has lately discovered, calling a referendum is the democratic equivalent of juggling with chainsaws, i.e. impressive if you get it right, but very messy if you don't, and as such, something that should only be attempted if you're absolutely sure you know what you're doing. Greetings, at this point, from Brexit Britain, where a referendum called roughly 8 years ago to buttress the credentials of the government of the day and decisively settle a vital matter for generations hence, has since destroyed four prime ministers, with a fifth victim imminent. Nevertheless, it is easy to see why the government of the neighbouring Republic of Ireland thought it was onto a sure thing with the twin referendums it held this past weekend. At issue were two undeniably archaic clauses in Ireland's constitution, a document dating back to 1937, when Ireland was a very different country, and a document which, practically speaking, was at least as much dictated by the Catholic Church as written by the politicians of the day, who were, at any rate, not notably resistant to instruction from bishops. One effect of the formal adoption of the 1937 Constitution on December 29th of that year was the elevation of Éamon de Valera, who had overseen the drafting process, to become the Republic of Ireland's first Taoiseach. He would later be Ireland's third and fifth Taoiseach, and in his dotage, a long-serving president. De Valera had been a minor commander in the Easter Rising of 1916 and had escaped being executed by Ireland's British overlords along with other Republican ringleaders by dint of being a US citizen. De Valera's vision of Ireland was almost comedically rustic.
A land whose countryside would be bright with cozy homesteads, whose fields and villages would be joyous with the sounds of industry, with the romping of sturdy children, the contests of athletic youths and the laughter of happy maidens, whose firesides would be forms for the wisdom of serene old age, the home, in short, of a people living the life that God desires that men should live.
It is arguable that Ireland's modern history has been the struggle of a nation to get out from under De Valera. The weekend's referendum was intended to be another small step away from his shadow. On the ballot were two clauses of Article 41 of his constitution. Ireland's people were invited to vote yes on two proposals. One, to endorse a generally more liberal and modern idea of the family unit and or marriage. Two, to rewrite the bit where the state undertakes to spare women the need to work at the risk of, quote, neglect of their duties in the home. You would have thought, and indeed Ireland's political establishment clearly did think, as all major parties campaigned for a double yes vote, that this was a win as easy as the reform was overdue. Ireland, to its considerable credit, is a country that De Valera would not recognise as his own and would be horrified by if he did. It is a country which has, in referendums in recent decades, heartily embraced gay marriage and overwhelmingly endorsed a woman's right to choose and, narrowly, but a win is a win, removed a constitutional prohibition of divorce. Ireland's current Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, is a gay man of Indian descent and no especially ardent religious convictions, which must elicit periodic rumblings from beneath De Valera's modest tombstone in Glasnevin Cemetery. However, both proposals were rejected, and it wasn't close. Nearly 68% of voters said no to broadening the definition of family, 74% were not having the update of the role of women. The numbers make clear that a great many no votes were cast by the very people the reforms were supposed to benefit, i.e. women, unmarried parents, and children of unmarried parents. The latter cohort comprises fully 40% of the current Irish birth rate. Ireland's bruised and embarrassed political establishment will now be wondering why, and so they should, on the basis that political parties absolutely must reflect on their misjudgments of the electorate. But it has not been unusual in recent years for the citizens of broadly prosperous modern nations to vote against their own interests in the service of delusional nostalgia. The Brexit campaign was spiritually, if not actually, soundtracked by the theme tunes from Dam Busters and The Great Escape. The unmistakable subtext of Make America Great Again is a yearning to return to some prelapsarian golden age during which life was one endless animated Norman Rockwell painting. To be clear, as may be confirmed by opening a book, this never happened, as nor really did De Valera's fever dreams of a pastoral Arcadia. And it might also just have been that the Yes campaigners campaigned badly and complacently. There are echoes here of Australia's recently defeated referendum to establish an Indigenous voice to Parliament, an idea that was actually pretty popular until the government started trying to explain it. In Ireland, similarly, any consensus that the status quo was suboptimal was dissolved by the failure to furnish a concise, coherent alternative. Also, sometimes voters just enjoy telling their governments they can cram it. It is not always an ignoble impulse. Irish voters in particular may be understandably resistant to the wisdom of late Victorian British prime ministers, but their votes this weekend are an endorsement of the caution attributed to Lord Salisbury, aghast at some or other proposed reform. Why change? Things are bad enough as they are. For Monocle Radio, I'm Andrew Muller.